in less than 3 months, we can start singing this song. It's a great Christmas hymn. And yes, it is less than 3 months until Christmas. And you're saying, I know, Cale, just let me get through Halloween first. Let me get through Thanksgiving. But it's coming. And the reason why I have to mention this today is because today is also the feast day of St. Wenceslaus, good King Wenceslaus. And Bing Crosby has one of the most famous versions of that classic Christmas hymn. Here it is. Take it away, Bing.
Good King Wenceslaus looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon at night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
You know, I just want to keep that rolling, because Bing is so classic, he's so smooth, but it is a talk show. It's not Christmas radio, but today is of course the feast day of Saint Wenceslaus. I just love that hymn, Lucas.
Hey, Cale, question.
Yeah.
Do you think it would be successful if I pitched to the people above me Cale's Christmas carols for the next pledge drive that we do? You
think Cale's karaoke would... Christmas.
Cale's karaoke Christmas.
We actually do want people to donate to Relevant Radio.
They so might
that might not be a good
for
idea.
You to stop singing.
Yeah, exactly. No, make it stop. I'll pay anything. But no, I love that song. You know, bring me flesh and bring me wine. Blah 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 blah. I can never remember the rest of the words, but it's great stuff. And well, here's the true story behind King Wenceslaus, who wasn't actually a king, by the way. He was not actually a king. We have to disabuse you of that notion. But his official title was the Duke of Bohemia. The Duke of Bohemia. So, I mean, from time to time, producer Lucas has been accused of living a Bohemian existence, and apparently so did Wenceslaus. He was the Duke of Bohemia, but he was actually a very good ruler. He took care of his people. There was a little piece on him on the Alatea website by Philip Kozlowski. I kind of filled in a lot of the blanks for me on him. And there was a legend that was pretty widespread about St. Wenceslaus, about how he used to take care of his people. And this Christmas carol does capture the essence of the man, because he would go out every night and give alms to the poor. And there was a church writer by the name of Cosmas of Prague. And in the year 1119, he wrote this about St. Wenceslaus. He said, "His deeds, I think, you know better than I could tell you. For, as is read in his Passion," and you say, well, hang on here, does he have a Passion too? He does. I'll tell you about that in a second. "Nobody doubts that, rising every night from his noble bed, with bare feet and only one chamberlain, he went around to God's churches and gave alms generously to widows, orphans, those in prison, and those afflicted by every difficulty, so much so that he was considered not a prince, but rather the father of all the wretched." So, people loved this guy. He would go out and he would really have the smell of the sheep, you know, as Pope Francis would say. He would get out among his people. Again, he wasn't a cleric. He was a ruler. He was the Duke of Bohemia. And that's really where this carol got its origin from, how he looked out at night. And, you know, in the carol, he sees this poor man shivering from the cold and says, bring him inside here. And he gathers some food and starts up a fire. And of course, at the end of the song, it tends to encourage us to try to do the same. "Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing." Okay, so I had to do it again, sorry. But couldn't resist. Apparently, Wenceslaus was brought up by his grandmother, Saint Ludmilla. And his grandmother was a martyr. I was trying to find some time to dig up some stuff on St. Ludmilla, but his grandmother was martyred for the Catholic faith. Anyways, she took him in after his father died. She raised him in the faith. And at that point, Christianity was very new in Bohemia. And Wenceslaus' great-grandfather was actually converted by Saints Cyril and Methodius, who were great missionaries in that part of the world. However, Wenceslaus' mother, his own mother, and her name was Dragomir, And I guess she was a bit of a dragon lady because she was opposed to Christianity. And she actually cooked up an evil plot along with her other son. And his name was, you're not going to believe this, but his name was Boleslaw. Boleslaw, like coleslaw. Anyways, this was a cold, conniving plot. It was as chilly as coleslaw itself. So Dragomir and Boleslaw, her son, conspired to kill her other son, Wenceslas, and they actually were able to accomplish that. And this was kind of his own little passion. They tricked him. This is so dastardly. They said, come celebrate Mass. It's the feast of Saints Cosmas and Damian. Come, you know, we'll go to Mass together. We'll have a little party afterwards. And he said, yeah, great, I'll show up. Well, three of Boleslaw's friends murdered Wenceslas on the way to Mass, and he actually died and collapsed on the church steps. And Boleslaw then, of course, took his place. He became the Duke of Bohemia. But 3 years later, he repented of his evil, and God convicted him. And soon after Wenceslas died, people started, you know, saying this guy was a saint. They started asking for his intercession. All these miracles started to happen. And Boleslaw, who had kind of come back to God at this point, he was obviously quite repentant that he had killed his own brother. He had his brother's body moved to the Cathedral of St. Vitus in Prague. And the reason why he's called King Wenceslas and why the Christmas Carol gets that name is because after he died, the Holy Roman Emperor Otto I gave him the title King posthumously after he died. So beautiful. He's the real life Wenceslas was a beautiful image of Christian love. A great political leader who actually cared about his people, took care of the poor, took care of the vulnerable. And that's why this hymn was written about him. So there you go. That's the actual story. Did you know that, Lucas?
I had no idea. That's really cool, though.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty awesome. So, and that, but we kind of ran out of time, too, but it's also, and I think Patrick Alog, who's taking your calls today, he did mention a few minutes ago that it's also the feast day of San Lorenzo Ruiz, who is the first Filipino saint. So there's a lot going on today. There's a lot going on today. Our Lady Undoer of Nuts, Saint San Lorenzo Ruiz, and of course, Good King Wenceslas. All right. So what's on your agenda this evening, Lucas, after the show?
Well, Manuel's call really piqued my curiosity, so I'm going to try and do some research, I think, on that question of human origins. Yeah.
Not a bad idea. And it's I'm gonna tell you something that I'm working on for another show, and I don't know when I'll get to this. I don't have time to get to it now. But I will say this. It was one of the most bizarre stories I've ever come across. Some people are suggesting that, and we've obviously been following the crisis in Afghanistan, what's going on over there, the Taliban taking over. Some have actually suggested that the Taliban are actually the lost tribes of Israel. I just can't believe this. It's so bizarre. So I did some reading on this. A lot of people are talking about this, and I will share the case for this. I don't think it's legit, but I'll just leave it there. I'm going to give you a little tease, but we will talk about it at some point this week. It kind of begs the question, what did happen to the lost tribes of Israel? And how is God going to bring them back from the nations, from all the nations of the world? Because what happened to them? The lost tribes of Israel never came back. There were 10 tribes that got lost during the exile, never were heard from again. But they're still out there somewhere. And where are they, and how does God get them back? I think the story and the truth will actually surprise you and delight you. So I'm going to talk about that. A lot of religions talk about the lost tribes of Israel. A lot of people are claiming to be part of the lost tribes, people from all over the world. There's actually a story in the New York Times a few days ago about some people in, I think it was in parts of India and also in Myanmar, who are claiming to be descendants of the lost tribes of Israel. So, and don't forget, you know, Mormons, we did this big series on Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses on the Faith Explained program, and you can check the archives for that, check the podcasts. Mormonism, the lost tribes come into play there too, because they think the lost tribes migrated to the New World and set up these huge civilizations. There's no archaeological evidence for this at all. and Jesus appeared to them, allegedly. Not a shred of evidence for it, once again. But the Lost Tribes figure into a lot of different religious groups. So we will tell you what that's really all about in another episode, but I'm working on that, and lots of cool stuff coming up. By the way, tomorrow, speaking of the Faith Explained, we're starting this brand new series on the Archangels. It's going to be a really quick three-part series. We're going to talk about St. Raphael tomorrow, and we'll talk about St. Michael, and we'll talk about St. Gabriel as well, because tomorrow, the 29th, is the Feast of the Archangels. A lot of great feast days this week, Lucas. Then we got St. Jerome later this week.
Whew. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a man. Every day there's just an awesome saint on the calendar.
I love being Catholic. It's great. There's all these cool stories about saints that you've never heard of, and then you learn their story, and you're like, man, that's awesome. And then there's like they're so frequent throughout the year. You're just like, oh, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many of them, and hopefully we're all living saints. And I don't know. You know, if I get canonized one day, they might have to tell the story of my terrible karaoke singing. Will that be part of it? Will that be part of the legend? I don't know.
It depends. It depends if I include it as I write it down.
Yeah, well, I got a long way to go before that happens, I'll tell you. But hopefully we're all living saints. And
I'll appeal to the Vatican and be like, look, he's a great guy, and you really should have heard his carols. They were great. And they'll be like, yeah, I don't think that's a good cause for his canonization, but...
We'll see what Father Rocky thinks about the idea of a Kale Karaoke Christmas collection for the pledge drive. I don't know. But anyways, Father Rocky is coming up an hour from now for the Family Rosary Across America. Do not miss it. Timory is up next, so stay tuned. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alok took your calls. We'll be back tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.